One of the first paintings I saw as a child of what Jesus' ministry might have looked like was this experience the Lord had with His disciples, sometimes known in the children's song, with Jesus in the boat, you can sail through the storm. That's a good song to memorize. With Jesus in the boat, you could sail through the storm. And I don't know how the photo turns out on here, but it's not a photo. It's a couple paintings depicting what it might have been like for the disciples, for Jesus. In this one, it's really hard to see Jesus. He's just being awakened at this point. And the boat is going that way. He's in the back of the boat, and everybody else feels like they're gonna die. They're not going to make it. So here's they wake Jesus up. He gets up and rebukes the wind and the waves. He tells them, "Peace, be still." And it's a tremendous miracle that he does. Another incident of what it might have looked like in those guys and Jesus might have experienced. So Jesus tells his disciples how this whole experience got started off. Let's go to the other side of the lake. Let's go to the other side. So he's the one that gets them in the boat, and he's the one that says, let's launch out. And the disciples are just doing what Jesus told them to do. And they find themselves in a big storm. So they weren't. The disciples were not in trouble because they were sinful. Disciples were not in trouble because they were rebelling, or they got in the boat right near nighttime, and you never know what's going to happen after it gets dark. Does anything good happen after 11 p.m.? They were in trouble as a result of their obedience to God. So it was unexpected trouble. Sometimes you follow God, you will find yourself in a big storm, bigger than you expected and bigger than you had before following God. That's just what it feels like. That's not the way it really is. But Mark gives a description of the storm in a great amount of detail, which adds credibility to the Bible. Because sometimes when you go through a real hard time, all your senses kind of kick in and you remember almost every incident of what happened in that painful time. Oh, the phone rang, and I was waiting for what would happen to my loved one, and now I'm going to pick up the phone. I can remember how many times it rang. I can remember the sound of the person's voice when they talked to me, or I could see the look on the doctor's face. He comes in, and he starts to tell me I need surgery, and I didn't want to hear that, but I remember what he was wearing and whether he was attentive or not attentive. All those things because of the pain they're going through. So the minutes seem like hours, as the song says, for the disciples, for you and I. But it's a furious windstorm. Some of you have been through furious storms. A couple years ago, we had the tornado blowing through. Better hide in the basement. And no way to fight it. This is a hurricane-force wind for the disciples. That's what the word furious means there for them. Jesus is in the stern of the boat. That's in the back. He's on a cushion, probably a leather cushion, based on what the word cushion means in that time. And waves are coming over the boat. He's not wet yet. He's still sleeping. So the disciples wake him up. They don't wake him up with a little tug, a little tap on the shoulder. Some of the guys are afraid. I'm not. Could you go and help him out? They were all very afraid, helpless and hopeless. And they say something to Jesus that you and I have often said, if not out loud, just for a moment or two in our soul. Lord, don't you care? Lord, don't you care if we drown? That's a scary prayer to pray. It's not heard very often in public. It was heard this day. And to pray, Lord, don't you care, is pushing the envelope with God. Don't you care is something you say to somebody when they're not participating in something you're trying to do. I'm mowing the lawn over here, and I've worked on it for 3 hours, and I need something to drink, and I see you sitting on the lounge chair. Don't you care? Okay, don't you care? Do you want to help me out or not? Lord, don't you care that we are going to drown? Somebody in Sunday school is very sick, a little one, and you ask the teacher, pray for the little Johnny. He's sick. He has a terrible fever and needs to get better, and pray. And the teacher says, let's pray for Johnny. Lord, don't you care? that Johnny is sick. And don't you care that Johnny may die. Amen. Somebody says, don't ask that guy to pray anymore. Okay. He's too dramatic. Maybe he's too honest. But somebody said, Lord, don't you care? That could be the prayer a person prays right before they become an atheist. I'm in trouble. Lord, don't you care? Have mercy on the atheist. Their storm still might be going on. They're not in hell yet, are they? So God can still reach their soul. And the disciples, you know, they wake Jesus up. They're fishermen. They know what it's like to be in the boat. They don't know what it's like to be in a storm like this. Their knowledge was not sufficient for their trouble. That's a good lesson for you and I to learn. Our knowledge is not sufficient for the trouble we'll find ourselves in just one day. Most of the time, our 3.5-pound brain just doesn't have the information necessary to cope with today's problems. Don't be embarrassed about that. The disciples were not ignorant. You know, they needed the Lord. And so when we get like that, remember that God will intervene and we can cry out to Him. The disciples, you know, where they were, they lost control of the boat. They lost control of themselves. And they lost the impression that they had any control whatsoever over their lives. That was a false impression, and they needed to lose that. And then you and I need to lose that too. If we think we're going to be ultimately control of the boat, of ourselves, or of the storm. That's three lies right there. We need to turn to Jesus as they did. So Jesus gets up. And He commands the wind and waves. Now that's really something. He says, peace be still. And immediately the wind and the waves calmed down. Amplified Bible says, a great calm and perfect peacefulness came. Well, you know, when God decides to do something, it happens. And we want to speak that way to our troubles around us and certainly to the trouble within our own soul. But interesting, some questions I want you to run with as you seek God. Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves. Do they have ears to hear? Or eardrums? You know, does the wind and the wave, do they have free will that they can tell God yes or no? When he says, peace be still, do you and I, are we perfectly free when God says something to us? We're going to consider that. We'll take that into consideration and go from there. Or this one, was Jesus being unloving to the wind and the waves when He said, peace be still, and He overruled any of their independence that they thought they had? No, He just did for the disciples and for the wind and waves what they couldn't do for themselves. Overruled their fury. And brought the perfect calmness. Not a bad prayer to pray as a sinful person. Lord of wind and wave, overrule my independent will and give me a peace my soul cannot even choose for itself. Lord, unless you bring the peace, I'll still be in turmoil. I'll still be in the storm. And the wind and the waves obey. A couple things we could follow God about from what Jesus did for these disciples. First of all, to ask the Lord to overrule our own furious, troubled soul and say, Lord, give me peace. I need the peace of God, a peace that only God can bring. We were talking on Wednesday night, the Bible study, about folks, some of us walk with the Lord for quite a long time, but daily peace is something we still have to ask God for. Because we end up fighting God, fighting ourselves, or fighting things around us. Lord, say peace be still to my soul, and it'll be calm, and I'll still be able to take action. Because we could do that because He's the Prince of Peace, so He wants that gift to be given, and I think He wants the gift for us if we face storms, or even face the intimidation of His own character. Second way to follow the Lord in this I thought maybe don't be afraid to ask God tough questions, as the disciples did. It's not tough for God. It seems tough for us. Lord, don't you care? It's not a prayer. It's not a question that's polite. It's not full of faith. It doesn't sound real holy. Lord, don't you care? But it was prayed, and it was an example of turning to the right place for help. You might say it was an example of worshiping God. They bowed down and said, Lord, don't you care? And Jesus didn't get mad. He could have said, I'm going to give you a nice swim. I'll show you how much I care. Over the side you go. But instead they were to ask and knock, and the door would be open to them. And there's other questions that people asked God in the Bible that were kind of impolite, but they were turning points between them and God. Find an old song, why don't we ever get an answer when we're knocking at the door about 1,000,000,000 questions about hate and death and war? I'm looking for someone to change my life. So maybe the disciples could have sang that. But here's a question asked God by a man. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Are you going to do right, Lord? Abraham asked God that, and God showed up. Here's one we probably prayed when our loved one says goodbye. Couldn't Jesus have kept this man from dying? It was after Lazarus died. Jesus could. Surely you could have done something at that time. Jesus shows himself to the people. Lord, why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Another good question. Here's a good one for communion time. Lord, if you kept a record of sins, who could stand? So we're going to come to God based on His forgiveness. Here's another one. Lord, why do I have sorrow every day in my heart? Hopefully I haven't prayed that for months and months and months, although there may be a couple months in a row where that's your prayer. But you're still talking to God. That's a good thing. And then here's a good one. Peter prayed, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. To turn to God. Know His care for you. And just one more way to follow Jesus, maybe from the passage. You can meet Christ as a Savior here because you see Him as King of Kings. He rules over everything because He made it. He wants to rule over your soul because He made that too. He made that for Himself. You can be with the Lord now and forever. What a powerful Savior. You can thank the Lord that He leads you into the storm. It was Jesus' idea to get in the boat in the first place. This whole thing, disciples would say, this was Jesus' idea. And you'll have a storm and it'll be big and furious. And you'll say, oh my, Lord, do you care about this? And Jesus he'll be there for you. He may speak to the storm immediately and it'll be calm. He may speak to your soul immediately and be calm. Or He may continue to speak and the calmness would come over time. But when we go into the storm, which all of us will have this week and some each day, remember who's in charge of the wind and the waves. It threw the disciples off. But we could say, like a little child song, which is very powerful, well, He got the wind and the waves in His hands. Well, He's got me and you, brother, in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. And when we know that, sometimes we'll say, oh, now I'm really, really respectful of God. The disciples, they thought the storm was bad. Now they knew, I'm going to meet a Savior, and I hope He's merciful to me. Or I'll be more in turmoil than the storm was. So know the peace of Christ. Come to Him. Put your trust in Him. Say with your soul, Jesus is my Lord. I want him to be so as much as he is of the wind and the waves. Let's pray together. Lord, at your table, give us peace with yourself and help us to hear you say to us, peace, be still. Might our own life be as obedient to you as the wind and waves. In Jesus' name, amen.